This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. I'm Sean Tubbs. Writer Jenny Gardner wants your vote in a contest to win a publishing contract. She and her manuscript, Sleeping with Ward Cleaver, have made it to the semifinals of the American Title Contest, run by the oldest independent publishing house in the country. This is the third time Dorchester Publishing has held this event.
I found out about the contest on a lark, and I just figured they were looking for humorous women's fiction, which is what I write. So I went ahead and submitted, and in fact, I submitted two manuscripts, and one of them they picked to be one of the top 10 finalists. So they modeled it on American Idol. My kind of claim to fame that makes me feel good about it is that editors chose mine as one of the top 10, and so they felt that it was worthy of publication.
Gardner says this is one way to get published in an environment of cutthroat competition. So she says she's game to work the rules of the contest, and for the past 6 months, she's been contacting as many people as possible to get them to vote for her and her manuscript.
We are in the fourth round, four out of five rounds. We're down to four finalists at this point, and you know, I have to get really creative and figure out how to get votes. My strategy has really been just trying to figure out who's on a computer when, doing it that way, because, you know, getting large blocks of votes from people online. But it's been tough, but it's been interesting, and I've met tons of people through it. And truthfully, if I got published on my own from another publishing house without having gone through this, to find a readership is tough. And so this raised my profile enough to at least start out somewhere higher than nowhere, which is good.
The contest concept for publishing may be catching on. Simon & Schuster is rolling out one of their own later this year.
These kind of contests have become ubiquitous in our country. And on one level, you know, it's a little silly, but on another level, you know, like I said, it's hard to get published. And my attitude, a lot of writer friends and I, you know, we just keep repeating the mantra, it takes talent, persistence, and timing. And, you know, you've got to have all three of those. Well, you don't. I mean, I've read plenty of books that aren't particularly good. but timing is huge. Persistence is enormous. And, you know, hope the talent's there, too. I like to think that I'm a decent writer, but I'm really determined at this point. It's what I know I was meant to do.
But coming up with the votes isn't always easy. Gardner says she's lucky to have lots of connections to draw upon.
I've got three kids. My kids are in a lot of activities. I'm in a lot of activities. That's a great starting point. Writers nowadays are often very connected on the internet, and there are lots of different writer's loops on Yahoo and things like that, and you kind of get in little niches there. There are different kinds of message boards with various special interest groups that you can kind of target to, things like that. So, you know, my biggest joke is I accidentally got invited to join a high IQ message board on Yahoo. And I thought, hey, that's going to be a lot of votes and these people are online. Cool. Turns out it was too much work to try to stay on that one because they were busy discussing the deeper ponderances of life. So I stopped bothering.
If Gardner wins, her book gets published, and she'll receive a publicity campaign from Dorchester. She says that can help an awful lot, as only a small percentage of books published today get help from their publisher. That will help her career as it transitions from journalist to fiction writer.
I never really thought I would write fiction, but I got to the point where once my kids got a little bit older and I stopped just passing out at night reading a chat or a paragraph of People magazine, I started reading again, and I joined book groups and started reading a lot. And the more I read, the more I thought, I can write this, you know, especially when I would read a book that I thought was pretty bad. And so just on a lark, I just started trying. I never really thought I could write dialogue or anything, but I just kind of did it for the heck of it. And found out that I really like it, and I'm a much better fiction writer than I am a journalist, quite truthfully. So I fell into it, really.
Voting in this semifinal round ends on Sunday, and Gardner will find out if she's one of two finalists on Monday. The final round of voting will begin in late February, and a winner will be announced in April. Each round, Gardner has to submit a sample for audiences and three judges to evaluate.
You know, one month it's on the summary of the book or on your protagonist descriptions and things like that. This month it's a dialogue scene. And so and next month, well, this is kind of where we make the leap between mine and somebody else's, if I get that far. The next month is like a romance scene, but I don't really have a romance scene because it's not a romance. Mine's kind of an anti-romance scene. You can imagine it's sleeping with Ward Cleaver, so it's kind of very tongue-in-cheek.
What's it about?
It is about a woman who's kind of approaching middle age and, you know, kind of finally dawns on her that the great guy she married has kind of turned into a modern day version of Ward Cleaver, and she's not real happy about it. And, you know, I kind of was interested in exploring how women, when their kids get a little bit older and all of a sudden they kind of have a renaissance and wake up again. I mean, you kind of bogged down in motherhood for so long and, you know, you lose contact with your spouse and everything. So that was kind of my motivation behind it. I was just interested in kind of following that and seeing directions and things like that. So my protagonist, her name is Claire, and she just realizes, okay, I've got to either fix this or get out because I can't bear it anymore. So, and it's done in a very funny way.
And here's Jenny Gardner reading her sample from this round of the contest.
Okay, the backup or the backdrop to this is Claire has decided that she wants to join her husband on a business trip he has to Miami. She figures this is going to be a great way for them to reconnect. But when she announces this to him, he's furious with her for having made these plans without discussing them. So they end up in an enormous fight, and then they have to go out to a cocktail party with his work. And that's where this fight begins. The rest of the weekend is played out on two levels. Level one, we aren't speaking to each other, and I'd sooner have unscheduled bowel irrigation than have contact, oral, physical, or otherwise, with Jack. Level two, we attend a cocktail party and have to pretend that we're the happy, loving, simpatico couple that defines us to our mutual friends. Under normal circumstances, the party, hosted by the founder of Jack's firm at his sprawling contemporary home along the Potomac River, would be at least interesting. Elegantly attired women in uber-overpriced couture clothing, the elite in the art and architecture community, top-shelf drinks and premier catered foods. But circumstances aren't normal, and although I'm stuck at Jack's side for lack of someone else's side to which I could adhere, I am forced to pretend I'm a perfectly happy little pig in poo with a man. Glass of wine, he asks without looking at me. Please. It's nearly as hard to force the niceties out of my mouth as it was expelling each of my five children from the birth canal. Something, I might add, that I did all on my own, just like my little weekend getaway will be, on my own, without Ward, wardless. I realize how similar Ward is to a warden. In my confining little marriage, Jack has become my jailer, and now I've got the key for a weekend leave. I think about that, and finally, I get it. I'm not sad that I won't have a weekend with Jack, so much as sad that he rejected the notion without so much as a perfunctory consideration to my attending. As if the idea of me being there is so contraindicated that... I wonder if he has more planned on the agenda than he's let on. Julia, I'd like you to meet my wife, Claire. I'm interrupted from my thoughts by Jack, whose chest is fluffed up like repeat when his feathers are ruffled. All of a sudden, he's not looking as much like Ward Cleaver as he is a rutting male mountain goat on one of those science class film strips about mating in the animal kingdom. Claire, this is my new colleague, Julia. Jack beams at Julia. I pointedly note to myself that there's no beaming directed my way. Julia has naturally blonde hair and heart-shaped lips. Who has naturally blonde hair after the age of 12? And heart-shaped lips? I thought those were only found on cartoon drawings of buxom women. My lips are the flat line of a heart monitor still hooked up to a dead patient. Julia, pleased to meet you. Julia grabs my hand in a pandering, I'll pretend I'm one of you housewives, wimpy half-handshake, which I absolutely detest. I would sooner lick from a dirty ashtray than shake hands with someone with a dead fish for a hand. I deliberately squeeze too hard. Claire, so wonderful to finally meet you, she says with an energetic enthusiasm reserved only for the unmarried and childless in the world. She's a human exclamation point. Finally? I wonder how long Julia's wanted to finally meet me. Or is it that she wants to finally sleep with my husband? Jack interrupts. Yes, Julia joined the firm a few months ago and I've told her all about you. I bet you have. Jack throws me a caustic look that could strip paint. So, Julia, what brings you to Kelly Kelly Goodman and Doolittle? Well, I finished up school a few years ago, but took some time off to travel, see the world. Jack hired me on a few months ago, which was so sweet of him, considering I hadn't had my hands in the trade for a while. I wonder where else her hands might have been. Oh, that's so like Jack, so thoughtful and all, I say without a hint of warmth. Always cutting other people slack. I mentally grind my stiletto heel into his groin. Julia just smiles in agreement. I decide to chum my hook for a little fishing expedition. So, Julia, I bet you're looking forward to that trip to Miami next week. Oh my God, am I? I even bought a new little bikini. I can't wait. I wonder if she's lined up the Brazilian wax just for the occasion. I glare subliminally at Jack as I smile politely at Julia. Why, I'm surprised you'll even have a chance to get to the beach, what with that brimming schedule you'll have. I'm enjoying watching Jack begin to squirm before me. That glowing candle he was a few proud moments ago is turning into a puddle of melted wax, snuffed out by yours truly. Oh gosh, I was under the impression that this was one of those perk weekend getaways to make up for all the late hours we put in. Julia twinkles a supernova look at Jack. I was told we only had a meeting or two and some nice dinners out. I arch an accusatory brow toward Jack. The partners have a far more trying schedule lined up, he interjects. Oh, I'm sure you'll be trying a lot with your schedule. Julia is not reading the subtext of our conversation, not that I'd care if she could. I'm sure Jack will be working far more than I will, she perks. Yes, knowing my Jack, he will be working it. Excuse me, I think I need to refresh my drink. A waiter steps up to us with a tray filled with wine and champagne, but I scurry past him, intent on getting as far away from their mutual admiration society as possible. So Jack is committed to a real working weekend, is he? Well, maybe he needs someone to supervise his work while he's in Miami. Maybe that's exactly what old Jacko needs.
That's writer Jenny Gardner with an excerpt of dialogue from Sleeping with Ward Cleaver, one of four remaining entries in Dorchester Publishing's American Title Contest. To vote, visit romantictimes.com. This is Charlottesville Community Media. I'm Sean Tubbs, and thanks for listening.